I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And I'm glad you could join us this week on the Netcast, because we have stuff to talk about, as usual. You know, my hair is doing weird things. You know, that's the problem with shooting a Netcast on a Sunday afternoon after having taken a nap. My hair is just all poof. But that's okay, because you don't really care what I look like anyway. Sad but true. Anyway, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Also, we are proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters, and that's what we do. We broadcast over the internet. Matter of fact, just earlier today, I was on the interwebs surfing around looking at solutions for video streaming. Hard to say after you just woke up. I don't know why. But anyway, video streaming, yes. And I may have some interesting things to talk about in the future once I explore that a bit. Anyway, boy, I'm a little bit wonky. Yeah. So the first item we have here is, of course, a Microsoft security item, because Microsoft is so totally insecure that you know that if you're going to use it, you may as well get ready for issues. So anyway, Internet Explorer, of course, is what we're talking about. And as of 2016, old IE browsers will be unsupported by Microsoft, meaning no patches, no security patching whatsoever. If you use them, you're doomed. Now, that's actually true now, as far as it goes. If you use Internet Explorer, of course, you must expect to be eaten by malware. Not you personally, but your computer at least. Now, as of last week, I used my Chromebook, and this week I'm doing the same thing. Chrome is my browser of choice. It is also my Chromebook of choice. Yeah, given that Chrome is the operating system runs on Chromebooks, there you go. So anyway, much safer to use Chrome, just saying. And speaking of Internet Explorer security, next item here. This is a little article I wrote, a little mini article. Mini as in small, not as in lots. You know what I mean? M-A-N-Y, no. M-I-N-I, yes. Okay. Anyway, so my headline here is, speaking of Internet Explorer's lack of security, since that last article we talked about, most modern web browsers block old, insecure, and out-of-date ActiveX controls and things of that nature. Microsoft Internet Explorer up to now did not do this. This is actually to be expected, since Microsoft Internet Explorer is the worst browser you can use if you want to protect your security. But now even lowly Internet Explorer will soon block ActiveX controls and Java controls. Chrome and Firefox already block out-of-date and unsafe plugins, but again, this is to be expected since they're much more secure than Internet Explorer. The new blocking feature in Internet Explorer will begin operating around August 12th of this month. Kind of an arbitrary date. I suppose it's after their Patch Tuesday time. I don't know. Anyway, August 12th of this month. It should also be noted that this applies to Internet Explorer 8 and above, and also those versions must be running on Windows 7 Service Pack 1 or Windows 8.x. So if you're using an older version of Internet Explorer or an older version of the operating system, then of course you are open to attack from all kinds of security bugs, hacks, exploits, and malware, which of course you should expect if you're using Internet Explorer. Anyway, no big surprise there. Yes, can you tell a little undertone of lack of confidence in Microsoft? Just saying. All right, next item. IBM releases a new chip that works like a brain. Yes, Fred, that's right. It doesn't work like my brain, fortunately for the universe. Fred, of course, as I mentioned before, is my imaginary friend. He taunts me occasionally. Some folks have even said, not much of a friend, is he? Well, he's sort of a friend. He can be an antagonist. But anyway. Yeah, that's right, Fred. You just keep on thinking these things. Okay, IBM releases a new chip that works like a brain. IBM has developed a new type of chip that processes data similar to the way your brain processes data. It uses a million digital neurons and 256 million synapses, which will allow IBM to build more intelligent computers. This new kind of computer chip consumes significantly less power. I'll share with you how much significantly here in a minute. It's quite amazing. And is suited for processing images, sound, and other sensory data. IBM calls it the Synapse chip, as it says there on the screen, spelled interestingly in terms of its capitalization of letters. The Synapse chip has over 1 million neurons that communicate with one another using electrical spikes, similar to the way actual neurons communicate in the brain, which allows it to mimic the connections and synapses of the human brain. The Synapse chip breaks with the design known as the von Neumann architecture that has been used in computer chips for the last several decades. Of course, one downside to this new chip is that it requires all new programming languages. Yee. Since it operates very differently from ordinary computer chips, of course, IBM has released software development kits so the development can begin on the software that works with the chip. The new Synapse chip has more transistors than most desktop processors, or in fact, any chip that IBM has ever made. With over 5 billion, with a B, billion, but it consumes very little power. In fact, processors with a similar number of transistors consume tens of watts of power, which is around 10,000 times more power than the 6.3 milliwatts consumed by the Synapse chip. That's pretty amazing. That's very little power. And yet, it's more powerful in terms of processing. Very impressive. Okay, this was cool. You need to go to the website. Of course, the website is drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. Go there and click on the YouTube video. Under the heading, A Self-Constructing Robot? And yes, that's what it seems to be. A flat sheet of material folding itself into a robot and then going off for a walk. Very weird. So click on the YouTube video and watch it. And as you listen to the lady talk, see if you can catch the fact that she got very confused on her sentence structure. I listened to it several times and went, what? But I got the gist of it. Yes. Babylon 5? Now, some of you know I'm a big Babylon 5 fan, and you have even noticed, if you haven't, because you haven't watched the show all the way through to the very end and watched all the thing, the images go by at the end, because I have the Babylon 5 space station as an image in those pictures that go by, proving that I'm a Babylon 5 fan, of course. Anyway, the point is that at San Diego's Comic-Con last week, J. Michael Straczynski, who is known to fans as JMS, he was the showrunner and writer for the series Babylon 5. He made the announcement at San Diego's Comic-Con that Babylon 5 may be coming out as a major motion picture. Dude. Now, the show started in 1993. That's actually 1 year after the birth of my son, the Game Master, who has been on this show before. Matter of fact, it's about time that he come back on the show. I'm going to have to roust him out of his lair and see if I can get him on the show sometime soon. But at any rate, catch up with what's been happening with the Game Master. The point is, he's now graduated from college. What? And yet, in 1993, when he was only 1 year old, one year old. So you got to have 2 years as opposed to 1 year. English, it's such a challenge. Or a challenge, as they say in the French. I think it's about time for some virtual water again. Yes. Anyway, this will probably be a reboot. Reboot? Of the franchise, since most of its starring cast have aged out of the roles that they played. Also, several of the foundational cast members, Michael O'Hare, Andreas Katsoulis, Richard Biggs, and Jeff Conaway, have passed away. I particularly liked Andreas Katsoulis as Jakar. Dude, he was a very neat character. Anyway, it was noted that series star Bruce Boxleitner may play the president of Earth Alliance on this reboot. However, which president of the Alliance he plays is still up in the air. He may not play, obviously, the one that he played in the show, but he could play perhaps the evil Earth Alliance president that he defeated when he was on the show. That would be weird. Whoa! Must be time for the Geek Software of the Week. Yes, indeed. The Geek Software of the Week this week is Evalaze. Now, Evalaze is a German software product package thing. And it is quite interesting. I have a video that I would like to show you. And I'm going to take a chance here that Evalaze won't mind me showing their YouTube video on this netcast because it only helps them. It doesn't hurt them. So let's look at that video right now.
Every Windows user knows the problems that come with the standard software installation process. It's time-consuming and generates loads of unwanted files and registry entries. Not only that, the installed applications can only be used on that one single PC. In addition, software compatibility issues generally lead to conflicts, which corrupt the operating system and increase the risk of a system crash. There's also one far too familiar dreaded aspect. The software cannot be removed cleanly and leaves behind numerous residual files in the system and entries in the registry. Evalaze solves this problem in a simple and efficient way. Software virtualization. This technology allows applications to run without the standard installation process. The virtualization engine in Evalaze converts the applications into executable files, which brings with it a number of advantages. For one, older applications can be made to run on current operating systems. Multiple instances of a single piece of software can be run on one system, including different versions. For example, version 4 and version 5. Another benefit of Evalaze is its flexibility. It runs without any difficulties locally on a PC, on network drives, on terminal server, on virtual PCs, and of course, it's also portable for USB sticks and so on. The system stays clean, and no traces are left behind when the virtualized software is removed. Evalaze, software virtualization for greater security and compatibility.
So, what'd you think of that? Pretty cool, huh? So the whole point behind Evalaze, as you just saw, is application virtualization. It's actually quite similar to Cameo, which I've already had as a Geek Software the week before. And I'm fascinated by application virtualization because that's kind of one of the key areas that I work with over at the hospital here in town where I am a systems architect. A systems architect just sounds so impressive. The title used to be server engineer, which is still cool, but systems architect, that's just like, whoa, yeah. Know what I mean? Anyway, if they change the title, it's the same position. Anyway, Everlaze is a cross-platform 32 or 64-bit operating system version, depending on which one you get. It will run on most versions of Windows, including server versions, and it supports applications, even 64-bit Windows applications, as well as 32-bit as well. Okay, so basically you have a software assistant that guides you through the virtualization process of applications. And then you have one single executable that doesn't have to be installed that you can run to run your program. Now, the benefit of that is you don't have DLLs stomping all over each other because things are running in kind of a sandbox, right? So the idea there is for instance, earlier I was talking about Internet Explorer 8, Internet Explorer 9, Internet Explorer 10, Internet Explorer 11. If you want to test, you know, your application running on all those different versions of Internet Explorer, you'd either have to install and uninstall, or you'd have to have separate machines. This way, you could actually run all the versions on one machine because they're encapsulated in a virtualized platform. Sneaky. So pretty cool. The system stays clean. No DLLs spread all over the place. It's no longer required for, you know, all of that stuff to go in all those different places. And so when you delete the executable, you've deleted the whole thing. You know, it's all good. The virtual application runs entirely in user mode, therefore no administrator administrator rights are required. A good time to get a drink of water because my tongue wasn't working correctly. Anyway, they have a version that is free to download for you to try and see if you like it. And if you're using it on just one PC that's not on a corporate network, then you're good. Okay, you can use it. However, if you're on a corporate network, it will come up with a message that goes, "Whoa, wait a minute. You're using this in a business environment. You need to buy the real version." And so the pro version or real version or however you want to look at it, it's actually just under $3,000. So, you know, but it has more features, okay? So, okay, but it has a whole lot more features and you can check the list of the different features that it has, okay? So there you go. If you're looking for ways to virtualize your applications, Everlaze may just be the best way to go for you. So check it out. All right, well, that's just about it for this week. Join us next time. Remember, until then, that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.